So, where's all the seaweed gone? Long time past. Now we can go to flowers.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago.
On June 18, 2016, 12 civil resistors sat down in the street in front of Bath Ironworks and were charged with obstructing a public way. Known as the Zumwalt 12, these individuals gathered again on October 1st to read drafts of their planned court statements. No court date has yet been set, and the charges against them could be dropped. WERU shares some of the Zumwalt 12's draft statements during today's program.
Long time ago, where have all the young girls gone? Gone to husbands, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
The first civil resistor to speak is Connie Jenkins.
On the face of it, the case against me is very simple. As the video shows, I stood and then sat down in the street until I was arrested. I would imagine a time of about 10 minutes. I did what I'm charged with. At the same time, I believe the charge against me is not only minor but irrelevant, because I acted for the greater good according to moral necessity. I understand that moral necessity may not be a legal defense. However, I have sworn to tell nothing but the truth, and in truth, it is moral necessity that has brought me here. I am a Christian peacemaker and a member of Pax Christi Maine, a Catholic peace and justice movement guided by the spirituality of nonviolence. As such, I am called to live my life according to the precepts given by Jesus in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. I have taken a solemn vow of nonviolence through Pace e Bene, an international peace organization, and as part of that vow, I am committed to helping the struggle to abolish war. Jesus declared, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And what that means to me is that if I consider myself to be a Christian, I have to do my part to make a more peaceful world. I must speak out against war and take public action for peace. So as a follower of the nonviolent Jesus, I found it impossible to remain silent as another weapon of mass destruction was blessed and prepared for delivery to the Navy. In an act of peaceful civil resistance, I spoke out. I think about the young men and women in their crisp white uniforms. I think about the young men and women in their crisp white uniforms who walked past us that day on their way to boarding the destroyer. And I hope that in seeing us sitting on the ground, waiting to be arrested, a seed was planted which may cause them to deeply reflect on what they have been trained to do and turn away from the deception and evil and horror of war. Thank you.
John Morris.
We're charged with obstructing a public way. We did that. We sat down in the middle of the road in front of BIW, and we disrupted traffic for about 10 minutes. We were protesting the so-called christening of a warship that cost about $7 billion. But more than that, what we really were protesting was the hundreds of billions of dollars that our government is spending to ensure that we remain the world's only superpower. It's not working. The past 15 years of American intervention in the Middle East is proof of that fact. We have not made the world safer. We should be investing in making our country a better place to be by investing in education, in healthcare, in social programs, and in infrastructure. To find us guilty, you're going to have to believe that what we did was unreasonable. We don't think it was unreasonable. We think it was necessary. We think what the United States government is doing in our names is what's unreasonable. And in ending, I'd like to read a quote from our former president and general, Dwight D. Eisenhower. This is what he had to say, and I quote, "Every gun that is made, every rocket fired, every ship launched, signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed."
George Austenson.
To get here, I had to go back quite a few years in my mind. 25 years ago, five friends of mine came to Bath Iron Works and poured their own blood and hammered on the USS Gettysburg. We came up for the hearing, and Judge Fields called them the conscience of the community and released them. 5 years later, Phil Berrigan and Tom Lewis from that first witness and four others hammered and poured blood on the USS Sullivan's, an Aegis destroyer, in a second plowshares action at this shipyard. This time, the federal court in Portland put them in prison. 3 years after that, I moved up to Maine, and we started a disarmament vigil with others in front of the administration building at Bath Iron Works for Advent, with the theme, Prepare for Peace. We continued this vigil in Lent with the theme of repentance, with the hope that someday we would see the conversion of Bath Iron Works from building warships to building something that promotes life. In 2003, after the shock and awe slaughter of the Iraqi people, in which the Aegis warships launched hundreds of cruise missiles, hitting hospitals, water and sewage systems, and in effect crippling the infrastructure of Iraq under the false pretense that they, the Iraqis, had weapons of mass destruction. 11 of us held a banner in front of another christening of an Aegis destroyer. I pled guilty to that charge and did a few days in jail, and we continued our vigil on at Bath Iron Works. Now 16 years, every Advent and Lent, passing out leaflets to some of the workers on their way. And so every year they've had these christenings. And I've held banners at all of these proclaiming that it is the global crucifixion of Christ today. This past June, they christened the second of three Zumwalt destroyers, a new warship that's even more horrendous than these deadly Aegis destroyers that already violate international laws by being crimes against peace and humanity and all of life, because they are offensive missile-launching warships that inflict collateral damage, killing indiscriminately. But this new Zumwalt is even more abominable, as its purpose is clearly to serve as a weapon of mass destruction, costing upwards of $7 billion a ship. So I felt it was time, once again, to nonviolently witness at this christening, so I joined others in the crosswalk in a witness. I feel it is required of us all to help us see the violence and madness that it is continuing to build these warships.
My name is Joan Peck. When I awoke the morning of June 18th, I thought that I was going to Bath with my husband to protest the christening of the Michael Mansour, a Zumwalt-class stealth destroyer. My husband had made a sign, and we were to join a group of activists that he had met early this spring. We arrived later than expected and had no time to exchange niceties with participants. We took our place with a group of demonstrators who were in the street across from the entrance, where invited guests and dignitaries were being escorted to their seats. Shortly after we arrived, we were told to move to the sidewalk or risk being arrested. It was then that I realized that the police officer was talking to us, that I was not only involved in a protest demonstration, but also in a civil disobedience action. I looked around and saw so many well-meaning individuals celebrating this hulking weapon of mass destruction that I knew that I had to take a radical, if not symbolic, stand. I said to myself, I can do this. I locked arms with my husband and with a group of individuals whom I would later come to know and respect, sat down on the ground, and for the first time in my life was arrested. I have a limited history of active engagement. I came of age in the 60s and, as a Roman Catholic nun at the time, was familiar with Philip and Daniel Berrigan and their supporters. I demonstrated at the Kennedy Building in Boston where police dogs were used to intimidate demonstrators. Our aim then, as it is now, is stemming the tide of global dominance by overreaching countries, especially our own. Seeing the futility of modern warfare and also seeing that we need to repurpose military production for the good of the planet when our society refuses to do so, I decided to cross the line. I am proud to have been included with the 11 other demonstrators who were arrested that June morning, along with the others who were part of the action.
On October 1st, there was a vigil outside Bath Iron Works, BIW, calling for the building of alternative energy systems on site instead of military destroyers. After the vigil, those named the Zumwalt 12 for their civil resistance at BIW in June shared drafts of their planned court statements. A little sound interference occurs when individuals brush against the microphone.
My name is Dud Hendrick. Among my hopes for this process is not to validate the maxim, he who represents himself as a fool for a client. Disproving it may be too much to hope for, but I hope that I not validate it. I understand that by representing ourselves, the procedure here today may try the patience of the court, and so I am all the more grateful for the opportunity. I am hopeful that through self-representation, in conjunction with our co-defendants with representation, that we can even more clearly lay bare the depth of conviction and the validity of our actions. It would be impossible for me to overstate how important I consider this opportunity to be for me and my colleagues, indeed for anyone who cares about this country and planet. I am anxious that the members of the jury clearly see the sincerity of our motives and actions and the context from which they spring. I know my colleagues will present strong cases. No matter the outcome of the trial, I will argue that this is not a frivolous waste of your time and the court's resources. We will all be trying to convince you that our country is at a perilous juncture. It will become clear to you that we are a serious, passionate group, each of us alarmed by the direction the country has been led since 9/11, and are committed to righting the ship. The crime for which we stand accused was just one piece of this struggle. If given the opportunity, we will tell you more. I do not dispute the facts of this case. I was on Washington Street outside Bath Iron Works on June 18th and was warned that I would be arrested if I did not respond to the order given by Bath Police to leave the street. I wish now, should I neglect to state later, to compliment the Bath Police on their conduct and treatment of us that day. I saw them as without exception courteous, respectful, and professional. I understand that we were accused of breaking a law. I intend to explain why I have done what I stand accused of doing, to establish clearly the sincerity, the resolve, and the necessity in my mind of my actions. I will be striving to illuminate the state of my mind on the day of the arrest and the foundation of my beliefs. I believe it is imperative that you understand and appreciate the context within which this action was taken. I hope that I may be afforded the opportunity to argue this act of civil resistance, not civil disobedience, was not a matter of breaking the law, but was an action taken in response to broken laws. In effect, I believed then and believe now that we were acting as sheriffs trying to hold a lawbreaker accountable. If permitted to do so, I will argue that our action was compelled by the U.S. Constitution, the highest law in the land, and other parts of what I understand legitimately to be part of domestic law, that is the UN Charter. I believe that all of us here today are united in the purpose of trying to build standards of moral responsibility, which should form the base for the rule of law. sometimes in the history of all countries, but certainly in ours, the normal procedures of a representative democracy, that is, elections and legislative actions, etc., are unequaled to the challenge presented by illegal undertakings in foreign and domestic policies. Activists since the Boston Tea Party through the Civil Rights Movement have applied forces that have expedited the response when there have been moral shortfalls. I believe that we are at such a time and the consequences are grave. Our symbolic act of nonviolent resistance, I would argue, was a legally justified method of confronting a system run amok. We are patriots, and we are sounding the alarm, trying to be the Paul Revere's of the early 21st century. We'll be asking you to look at the bigger crime, the bigger picture. Who are the real lawbreakers? How can we each best serve our country?
My name is Russell Ray. My decision to place myself at risk of arrest came about as a result of paying attention to the efforts of people who have been struggling to bring about the changes that are so urgently needed if we are going to avoid catastrophe through war and environmental destruction. I have come to understand that working within the system, change comes about too little and too late. The global situation is now extremely precarious. We no longer have time for slow change. I grew up with a great interest in and passion for marine life. For the past 16 years, I've been working to raise public awareness around the great harm that is being done to that life because of the way the Navy chooses to use its sonars. These sonars blast extremely loud noise into the oceans, which would be fine if no one lived there. But the oceans are home to numerous species, many of whom are affected by that noise. This noise, which is capable of spreading out at dangerous levels over large areas of ocean, disrupts important behaviors such as feeding, breeding, and communication, raises stress levels, causes temporary or permanent hearing loss and other injuries, and, as we have seen far too many times, in the form of dead and dying whales on the beach, even kills. But those ones we see are just the tip of the iceberg. The great majority of harm being done we'll never see. That harm could be greatly reduced if only the Navy were willing to engage in some common sense mitigations, but it simply refuses to do this. It does not wish to be bothered. Arrogance is a fitting word here. I first became aware of the issue in 2000 following the mass stranding of at least 17 whales and dolphins from four species that resulted from sonar exercises in the Bahamas. I co-founded Citizens Opposing Active Sonar Threats, and for years we worked to educate the main public and our politicians about these threats, writing op-eds, meeting with our congressional delegation, testifying at Federal Advisory Committee and other hearings, and submitting extensive comments on numerous environmental impact statements regarding Navy sonar. We joined other groups in a lawsuit over the Navy's outrageous plan, which it is now carrying out, to build a 500-square-mile instrumented sonar range where we'll engage in 470 annual sonar exercises. Just offshore, of all places, of the only known calving grounds of the critically endangered right whale. As it always does, the Navy resorted to claims of national security, and we lost that lawsuit and the appeal, though the law was very clearly on our side. So despite the years and years of lawful work by organizations to rein in the harm being done by the Navy's reckless use of its sonar, that use is not only ongoing, it's actually escalating. It's very much business as usual for the Navy. Unfortunately, this business as usual seems to be the case in so many other areas where change is desperately needed, from overcoming resistance from the fossil fuel corporations so we can avoid catastrophic climate change to stopping endless wars so we can live in peace and let the planet heal. Perhaps nothing will ever change as long as we keep our actions within the confines of the law. Looking back in history, we see that real change sometimes comes about only when people work outside of the law, as in the civil disobedience of Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi. Last December, I had the great opportunity, as part of a delegation of Veterans for Peace, to travel to and get to know some of the wonderful people in Kangjiang Village, who for 9 years now have been engaging in nonviolent civil disobedience to try to stop the construction of a Navy base that is destroying their village, their once beautiful environment, their sacred places, and prospects for a peaceful world. This base, supposedly a South Korean base, was built to U.S. Navy specs and will port our nation's warships, very likely including the Zumwalt, whose christening we were protesting, the same ship whose sonar will wreak havoc on those beings in the sea. I was able to see firsthand how our Navy's policies are so strongly and so negatively impacting not only the whales, fish, and other marine life, but also the lives of people of Kangjiang and others, so many, around the world. Knowing that things must change, and soon, if we are to survive, I chose to take action that may help to bring about that change.
My name is Richard Brown Leatham, and I'm an 84-year-old artist, teacher, Quaker pacifist. My plea of not guilty, in light of clearly taking action to block the roadway at BIW, is based on my firm conviction that my country is pursuing a criminal and immoral foreign policy. My position in response is one of a higher commandment. The policy of military and economic world dominance over the past half century has led us to the brink of destroying a livable world. This is true for our children, our grandchildren, not to mention the world population, which is at our mercy. This foreign policy, based on appalling financial greed by those in power, manipulates the American people by fear and misinformation to allow the uncontrolled expansion of a military-industrial monster over which democratic elections have no power. The prescient warnings of President Eisenhower in 1961, the dangers of the military-industrial complex, have gone unheeded. The destruction of the planet has become a real possibility. This possibility is a result of a foreign policy of intimidation and threat rather than cooperative negotiation on a world scale to create a peaceful, sustainable world. The first step in this effort is to recognize that the last thing we need is more weapons of destruction, such as the Zumwalt destroyer. My opposition to BIW's part in the disastrous scenario is not only on moral and ethical grounds. I might add common sense grounds. But it goes to the root of my faith in God. I was raised by a devoutly Christian mother and found my personal relationship to God in 1960 at the age of 29. In 1965, 5 years after that, I became actively involved in the illegitimate war in Vietnam. To backtrack a little bit, at age 21, my service in the U.S. Army during the Korean War convinced me that nonviolence was the only way for me to go through life. The anti-war movement I met in the anti-war movement, I met Quakers who had followed their leadings of nonviolent resistance and conscientious based action during equally critical times in U.S. history. I think that one of those times in history was in the 19th century when this country faced the monstrous threat of slavery. And if you read the history of that period, many, many people broke the local laws in order to bring it to an end. I feel now in this country, the time for patriotic Americans to speak out and follow their consciences to end the conditions that promotes endless war.
My name is Bruce Gagnon. I grew up in an Air Force family living behind the barbed wire fences on bases throughout the United States, England, and Germany. In 1971, I tried to join the Air Force like my stepfather, who was from a mill family in Rumford, but flunked my induction physical because of a high school football injury. I had to get a medical waiver to get into the military at the time when most young men my age were trying to avoid the Vietnam War. After my training, I was sent to a base in California that was an airlift base for the war. GIs from around the country came to our base to fly to Vietnam, and when the planes returned, they would bring the body bags of dead soldiers and the wounded. It was there that I became a peace activist. Living in Bath, I felt a special responsibility to learn about the military role of the warships built at BIW. They have nothing to do with defending the coastline of the United States. The Zumwalt destroyer, christened on June 18th at BIW, is a stealth forward-deployed attack weapon to be aimed at China. I became particularly interested in where these ships will go when they head to the Asia-Pacific. So in recent years, I've traveled to places like Japan, South Korea, Philippines, and Okinawa, where the U.S. will deploy its growing military presence in that region under a program called PIVOT, created by President Obama and then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. One place I've gone to numerous times is Kongjeon Village on Jeju Island in South Korea. This 500-year-old fishing and farming community of 2,000 residents has been torn to pieces in order to build a Navy base for U.S. warships under this PIVOT. Ships built here in Bath will be sent there, and for the past 8 years, villagers and supporters have nonviolently protested this base construction, and many have gone to jail. I was compelled to sit in the roadway at BIW on June 18th as a cry to the American people. Look at what we are doing. 1,000 U.S. bases around the world. I am not guilty of any crime. On June 18th, I tried to alert the community to a larger danger, the crime of continued preparation for war.
Thank you for listening. Jason Ron of the Zumwalt 12 led the song framing this broadcast. For WERU, I'm Carolyn Coe.
Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to grave.